There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
America tonight. More of the white stuff headed to the New England area. Hate to be the bearer of bad news right from the get-go. Although, if you're listening to me there, you certainly already know because you've been shoveling it. The good news is, before you know it, boom, just like that, in a snap, spring will be here and the whole winter woes will be behind you, right? Oh, me oh my oh. It has been rough. No question about that. Very, very rough. Meanwhile, on the political side, because it is a new week and there are conversations about ISIS again, especially after the horrific Jordanian pilot's death, the outrage over the way he was killed, then the reaction from King Abdullah of Jordan, and what the next step is to defeat ISIS. In fact, the Secretary of State, John Kerry, says that the U.S. is on the road to defeating ISIS. Wow, that's a big claim. Even though there are more tentacles supposedly spreading with the group, he says that the strategy to defeat them is working despite the warnings from other areas saying that it's not getting any better and that it's getting, if anything, a little bit worse, including the Department of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, saying that the threats are very credible. In fact, the lone wolf threat is pretty credible because there are people in the United States, idiots, who decide that they're going to hook up with ISIS and do whatever that they can do. And some of them have sent materials to ISIS and they were stopped. They were arrested, five of them, into the weekend. So I guess that's the good news. And now, of course, the question starts to fly around about what happens if Homeland Security shuts down. Who's not going to get checks? Who's going to work for free? And what are we going to do? And we've been through this before. You know, you're on the air enough and you realize, wow, this is like Groundhog Day right here. Because we're repeating these same conversations that I was sick of having the last time around back in 2013. Oh, what's going to happen? What about the veterans? Who's going to get their checks? What about Social Security? And whatever other threats are being thrown out there. I mean, let's just solve the riddle. Let's just solve the problem. And if you want to get a little hot under the collar right here from the get-go, right at the beginning of the show, check this out. Because, you know, none of us like government ways, let's face this. I don't care if you're left of left, right of right, or somewhere in the center. You don't want to hear some ridiculous money that's being thrown in a rat hole over some study that doesn't really make sense. Well, the Washington Free Beacon reported that the Pentagon issued 60 contracts worth $500,000, more than $500,000, for Viagra in 2014. All 60 contracts were awarded to the Cardinal Health Company, a pharmaceutical distribution group based in Dublin, Ohio. And in Ohio, how about that? So they spent $500,000 on a male enhancement drug last year. So what's that all about? And now, here is the thing. In defense of it, what the Pentagon is saying is that they started to offer Viagra to soldiers as a medical benefit in 1998 when the drug was 10 bucks a pill. Now, you know what's happened? 1998, 10 bucks a pill. Because of inflation, one pill is now $25. And so at the time, it allowed for six pills a month per patient. And they said they wouldn't even replace lost or stolen pills. So they're calling it troop support. Can you imagine that? Troop support, $500,000. Good for that company, though, right? But it seems kind of odd to me. Do we really $500,000 on that, on Viagra? And, oh, I'm sorry, it's inflation. Like I said, good for the company in Dublin, Ohio, eh? A lot of conversation still about Brian Williams from NBC Nightly News. Boy, you almost feel sorry for the guy when you think of, and I know some of you are cringing out there, but when you think of what he's been through the last couple of days, they're taking his head and putting in all kinds of, you know, making him a meme and putting him in all kinds of situations that he, I think I said this last time around, he was in Wonder Woman's invisible plane, that he was running like Forrest Gump, and, you know, so in the 140 character world, they have really just lambasted Brian Williams. What is NBC going to do? Because it's pretty confounding. They haven't come out with any kind of a real statement. He decided on his own to step aside for a couple of days. I mean, he didn't really specify the amount of days. Lester Holt steps in for him, and he says he wasn't under any pressure to do it, but he decided because of the situation that was happening that he was becoming the news. It was too much about this whole rocket propeller grenade shooting down the copter that he was in. So he said that he wanted to step away. And he canceled an appearance on The Late Show with David Letterman because of all of this stuff that's happening. So interesting. So far, NBC hasn't, the executives there anyway, haven't really defended him. So it makes you wonder, I mean, can somebody, we've said this before, as you look at the whole idea of being an anchor, and certainly times have changed, but you think of Walter Cronkite, and what do you do when you have somebody who just flat out misremembers being shot down in a helicopter, and he did go to Iraq, and he was embedded with troops and all of that, but he was not shot down in a helicopter. And we certainly have already talked about that, but trending is a big thing, and we're going to start doing that. What's trending every night? We're going to say what's trending on Twitter, the 140 character land. And one of the biggest things still trending is Brian Williams and what's going on with Brian Williams stepping aside, and what about other stories he's covered, and all of that, and how much of it can you trust? I think that was a hot headline heading into the weekend, and I don't know that necessarily dies down until NBC probably, you know, ultimately comes up with what they're going to do, resolves the situation, however they decide to resolve it. And it may not go, you know, it might not go his way. It may be that he steps aside on his own for a few days and then some sort of decision is made, or the storm passes and he comes back, and, you know, that's that. Coming up in this hour of America Tonight, Dean Smith. If you think of basketball and you think of the greatest basketball player ever, and we could make an argument for a couple of different names, but certainly Michael Jordan, who was his mentor, who was like a second father to him, it would be Dean Smith. He is dead at the age of 83, died over the weekend, legendary, a couple of championships. He also led the United States to a gold medal, if you remember that. Numerous appearances in the Final Four, and really changed the shape of basketball in a way. And a lot of people, coaches and players and North Carolina alums and a lot of other people as well in the basketball world, are reacting to his death. We'll talk about it at the tail end of the show. Hang with us. Much more coming your way next on America Tonight. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you?
Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
Davis is joining us. Let me give you a little bit of his background. He's the editor of the Intermediate Zone and the president of the American Freedom Alliance. And you, boy, he's been everywhere, let me tell you. He's had lots of commentary on Israel and the Middle East. He's appeared in the Chicago Tribune, the USA Today, the LA Times, the American Thinker, and I'm sure the list goes on and on. Avi, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you so much.
So let's talk about something I talk a lot on this show. And I go to Washington a couple times a year. And I was supposed to take a trip to Israel, and hopefully I go to Israel at the end of the year. But, you know, you look at Benjamin Netanyahu, and he's coming in to address both chambers of Congress. And, of course, the president has no involvement with that. And John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, didn't go that route anyway. What was your reaction when you heard that, first of all?
Well, I was expecting it, frankly. I think what has happened is that Benjamin Netanyahu has taken the measure of Barack Obama and basically seen him as irrelevant to the future security of the state of Israel. I think that Netanyahu and his government, together with the governments of Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt, and other moderate regimes in the Gulf, have been extremely frustrated and disappointed with the negotiations with Iran, which have dragged on now for 14 months without any sign of progress. And the fact that that the Obama administration wants to stave off any further sanctions, I think, has driven Netanyahu to see the president as not particularly relevant to the process, and he is going to go to Congress to speak to those whom he believes are going to be supportive of the state of Israel and have been traditionally supportive, and that's Congress. And he may be speaking, of course, to the future president of the United States, will be in that in the gallery and on that day. So it's a very important move on the part of Netanyahu, and he is of course taking the risk of earning the ire of Barack Obama, but I don't think he cares.
Oh yeah, I so agree with you. I don't think he cares at all. Do you understand it when we talk about the president and this relationship? Where traditionally the kind of relationship we've had with Israel, especially in the hornet's nest that you know the Middle East can be, I would imagine that Israel feels like they're being jilted somewhat. How important is it for us to be tight with Israel, is I guess the best way to say it?
Well, it's extraordinarily important for the United States. It's important for Israel even more, but for the United States, we're faced now with a rising Iran. You have basically an Iranian crescent running now through Yemen, which whose government just collapsed last week, or 2 weeks ago, I should say. And then rising through the Arabian Peninsula to Iraq, northern Iraq and Syria, and through Hezbollah and Hamas in the Gaza Strip. So you have this presence of Iran and this threat to the region, and it's extremely important to have a democratic ally whose intelligence capabilities and whose military prowess can offer a buffer to a rising Iran. So I do think that this is extremely important for the United States in a very dangerous area of the world.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. What do you think happens with Iran? Supposedly we're having these conversations. Do you think that really goes anywhere?
No, unfortunately, it's not going to go anywhere. This is just biding time. I think when the president says that he's not going to allow Iran to acquire a nuclear weapon, he's basically saying, yes, I'm not going to allow it, but only on my watch. So I don't think he cares very much what happens after January 2017. But, you know, the world goes on, of course, and America still has national interests to protect. And so Iran represents, I think, one of the gravest threats to national security that we'll ever see in our lifetime. And we've got to stop it now. And I'm drawn back, of course, to 1938 and to what happened at that time at Munich and the collapse of the West and the surrender of the West to Adolf Hitler. That kind of appeasement can't be allowed to possess the thinking of our leaders today. And I'm afraid it is, because both Obama and his counterpart in the UK, David Cameron, seem to agree.
But yeah, what is that? Is it because Rouhani takes over and tries to play nice in the beginning? Or, you know, there was these sanctions that were actually working against Iran, and then we lift them up and nothing happens. I was so shocked when we finally had Iran over a barrel, and then we just pull them away after everything that went on. Just being naive, just as you said, not caring, hey, I'm out, it doesn't matter.
Well, I think that Obama's, the thing he fears most is being George Bush the second, or George Bush the third, maybe.
Right.
You know, he's very concerned about his place in history. He doesn't want to be seen as somebody who had to commit American troops again to the Middle East after what he perceives as the greatest disaster in his lifetime. And he doesn't seem to be aware that, you know, a military confrontation is inevitable in the future, and that not preparing for it is inviting Iran to play games with us and run rings around us. And they're building their nuclear weapon as they drag these negotiations out. And there's very little progress that we can see that Obama can claim that would allow us to have any confidence that they're going to succeed.
Yeah. Do you think now when we look back at it, remember to the beginning of his administration, the whole Arab Spring, is that now just a joke that just blew up in 10 different pieces?
Not only is it completely disintegrated, it's gone completely the other way. The Arab Spring has turned into a very chilly Arab winter, and this was reinforced just just last week when a militia attacked the Libyan Central Reserve and basically stole $100 million in gold. You know, the only place that it can be claimed to really have taken any hold is Tunisia, but that is very fragile as well. And this could have been predicted. This should have been predicted because Arab societies aren't built for the kind of democracy we would expect them to develop. They're very paternalistic, hierarchical societies where strong men are revered. And unfortunately, we haven't learned that lesson. We don't understand the Arab world. We don't really appreciate its structure and its sociology. Our leaders certainly don't. And this is a continuing problem.
We saw the horrific death of the Jordanian pilot the other day and then the reaction from Jordan. I mean, ISIL, in trying to relate to where they are in the pecking order of a terror group, they definitely wield some power, don't they?
ISIS wields power. Yes, it does. It has presence. Power is a different thing. I think it has a very strong presence in this region, but you know that is probably only temporary. You know, when a society can't function, the reports we hear about the areas where they're conquered, there's no sewage, there's no running water. You know, children are starving to death. You know, that kind of regime can't last very long. If it can't run the places it's conquered, then it doesn't have very much longevity.
Do you think we'll see boots on the ground, American boots on the ground, to wrap this up or try to cut the head of the big snake, ISIL, off completely?
Well, certainly not until after January 2017. Yeah. I don't think he's got an American president who's willing to make that kind of commitment and has got the kind of determination or sees the problem in any serious way. After 2017, it will depend on the president we get with Hillary. If it is Hillary Clinton, then once again, it's doubtful. And a Republican president or a conservative president is more likely to take that kind of action and ramp up American involvement in fighting back against ISIS. In the meantime, I don't hold much hopes for American troops being on the ground and as much as they're needed there.
Yeah, boy, I agree with you. Avi Davis, you were terrific. We'd love to have you back on again. Thanks for coming on America Tonight.
I'm so happy to be with you, Kat. Thank you.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
America tonight. I know you're all listening to those nooks and crannies, and we have a lot of debates going on about green. Very excited to welcome to the show Diana Deem, and she's all about sustainability. In fact, she's got a great website called sustainabilitynewsandentertainment.com. Diana, thanks so much for coming on, and by the way, I hear you dodged a bullet because you weren't back in Nashua, New Hampshire, where, of course, we're on the big station there, because in some parts, 33 inches of snow. That's insane.
It sure is, Kate. Thanks for having me today. Yeah, it was. I spoke with my family, and they said, you're lucky where you are. I'm on the West Coast today, and it's actually sunny and probably going to be about 70. So, yeah, I dodged a bullet.
Woo. So first of all, tell me how you got into the whole sustainability thing.
Oh, my goodness, Kate. Well, that was probably 20 years ago. I'm old. And most recently, about 5 years ago, I was asked to start a radio show. I had spent most of my time working with Fortune 500 companies and building strategy around, you know, environmental health and safety. And then that transitioned into corporate social responsibility and then into sustainability. Like, how do we make money and be sustainable at the same time? So how do we make a profit? How do we make a profit while making a difference? And then when the show started, friend said, would you mind, putting something together? I think the world needs to hear about. And that was 5 years ago. And as you know, we were in the pit of the market, and everybody was scared and fearful. And I thought, you know what? There's so many people out there innovating and creating some of the most fascinating and impactful and tangible, transformative and fun, sustainable solutions for the planet, and they're making money at it. So I felt, okay, maybe this can be a tool for people to sort of listen to and a platform for people to leverage. So that's kind of how I got into it.
So, it's interesting, and you talk about that. making money, what can we do environmentally, all that kind of stuff. And you know there's a lot of naysayers who say, wow, that's just, you know, it's such an agenda. It's such an agenda with the whole green thing. And, of course, there have been some flubs, and we know that, with solar panels and some other things that have happened. But how do you respond to that? How do you tell people, wait, it's not necessarily the green monster maybe that you think it is?
Yeah, that's such a good question, and I think we need to have more discussions like that.
Yes.
Thanks for nailing it. Yeah. I mean, I look at it in a number of different ways, okay? So I look at climate. I look at water scarcity. I look at, you know, energy opportunities and, you know, is it a fossil fuel issue? Is it a clean tech issue? I look at our waste. You know, our oceans are filling up and, you know, with trash and plastics, and I also look at our, you know, our landfills, our earth, and we're running out of space. So if we look at population growth, today it's 7 billion, you know, in 2020 we're expecting about 12 billion. So we're looking at the core issues that make it really simple, you know, like how do we eat? How do we put a roof over our heads? How do we have water? And in many cases, you know, how do we, you know, have heat and that sort of security? And that's sort of a key issue. So I look at that, and then I look at where people are investing today. Right, so we've got these, you know, top billionaires like Warren Buffett, for example. He's investing $15 billion into the clean energy sector. You know, the Ted Turners of the world, you know, he's been quoted as saying, you know, clean energy tech is the greatest business opportunity the world's ever seen. You know, Elon Musk building Tesla and Panasonic investing, you know, $30 million in, you know, electric cars. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought that this would be happening? You know, so if we look at the bridge between population growth, we look at the bridge to, you know, like, for example, China is the number one, you know, highly populated, then India, then the U.S. So what are we going to do about that? And how can we make it, you know, innovative to shift and move forward? It's just like, you know, I like to use the example in World War II, right? We had the automotive industry starting to ramp up. We had people going to war. We had all kinds of moving parts, and we tried, you know, we were in survival mode, right? I feel like we're in somewhat of survival mode right now. Actually, we are in survival mode, so we need to shift that. What did we do back then? We pulled, you know, anybody that was here not at war, we shifted the automotive industry. Unfortunately, at the time, it was for weapons. But we built that very quickly. So if we look at how history is repeating itself and we look at the opportunity at hand right now, you know, we're looking at the Dow Jones. We're looking at, you know, these investment companies. They're focused in on how do we move, you know, solar forward because they see the value and the money in it. You know, you put solar in, you invest in solar, and then it's free. You're harvesting the sun. You know, so
yeah.
Same thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, the other question is, too, when we say that, and you make great valid points talking about the landfills, absolutely all of that, The one thing that you would hear from middle America, and you know this because this has to be one of the things like Warren Buffett investing, and there's a reason for that. How do we do it bigger, badder, cheaper, right? So people say, oh, I get it. I'm not going to complain. It's not going to cost me a gazillion dollars for my electricity, because that's the other argument you'll get.
Right, right. And that's the core. So we as investors, personal investors, you know, I'm in that bucket. You know, I'm middle America myself, and,
yeah.
And so many people are too. So I'm looking at, all right, how do I survive in this world where, wow, you know, if I, you know, save the money to put solar on my rooftop, I actually did this on a boat just to see what it would be like, you know. Let's put solar on there and see when we're out to sea. I mean, that's your living off the grid, so to speak. But when you're out to sea, how am I utilizing or how am I getting my power? Well, I'll tell you, it made it very comfortable at sea to have solar to be able to rely on so that you weren't, you know, generating, you didn't have to turn your engines on and use the fuel to generate the energy, right? And you're on a sailboat and you're generating wind generation as well. So it has a lot to do, Kate, I think, with just shifting our thinking into, wait a minute, how can I save money, right? Because I need to do that.
Right.
To survive, how can I obtain the things that I really want to obtain while, you know, doing this in a very innovative way? Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. Save money, innovative, all good. Who's complaining about that? Yeah, you know.
And then but the other thing that's really exciting after these last 5 years of interviewing people around the world, and one of the things I'd love to throw out there, especially for Middle America, and this is what I'm trying to do myself, is how am I creating new products? You know, I see this as a sweet spot for many of your listeners to really think about. You know, how are we developing and building 100% recyclable products so nothing will go to our landfills, our oceans, or our earth? Right? How are we building them from recycled products? How are they compostable or how are they biodegradable? So we get away from having anything go into landfill. That, I think, is the sweet spot for innovation for we Middle America and even, you know, developing countries and these big Warren Buffetts and the Ted Turners of the world and the Elon Musks of the world. They see it. So if we adopt that and we also look at ways to innovate on our own and create, there's some real opportunity out there that I had no idea was out there as a Middle America, you know, person.
Right. So you just have to dig a little, do a little research, and you might be surprised what door you would open, correct?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's,
you know,
all good
the
stuff.
Other thing, yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is I'm learning from, say, for example, the Navy. You know, I'm a big sailor, so I got to throw this in. The Navy's deploying, you know, green fleets. They're saving so much money, but it's also a security support system that we never would have thought about. You know, so say, for example, you know, we've got a Navy ship. I just interviewed a captain of the Navy a couple of weeks ago, and he was basically, guy, we need to be off the grid. If we're going to do our job and support security for this nation, you know, we don't want people to know where we are. We can do that through renewable energy, for example.
Mm.
Crazy.
There you go.
It's amazing, isn't
yep,
it?
Yep, off the grid. So you've done all these interviews. This is a tough question because people ask me this all the time. I've interviewed over 12,000 people. What was the interview that impacted you the most? That was just,
oh,
wow,
God.
I can't believe it.
There's
yeah.
so many, wow, I can't believe it, Kate. There's just, you know, I have to throw a couple out of there.
Okay.
You sit back and go, oh, my gosh. The Formula E, for example. You know the Formula One?
Mm-hmm.
Right, the Formula One and NASCAR are really taking some great strides right now to, you know, ensure that their gatherings, you know, the NASCAR races are zero waste, for example. Okay, that's like, whoa, what, really? So everything that comes in and goes out of a race, for example, they're trying to, in fact, make sure it's zero waste. So it's how you buy materials, you know, biodegradable, compostable, or recyclable products so that when the output is about to happen, that it's all completely in a closed-loop system, meaning it's 100% recyclable or reused. The Super Bowl this coming Sunday, I've been working and talking greatly with the NFL Green Team, and they're behind the scenes. And last year, you know, in New York, they were able to get to 98% zero waste. So this is pretty mind-blowing stuff. They're really thinking through how to have these large events with low impact on the planet.
Mm. Mm.
Right, and they're making money at you know, like a lot of these things are considered souvenirs, so why not sell them? You know,
yeah.
or give them away.
Yeah.
So, and then the Formula E, for example, that was another interview that blew my mind. It was all about how do we race cars, electric cars. You know, what's the buzz? It's literally a buzz. It's not the revving, you know, of the engines. It's the revving of an engine in a different way. But they were able to go from zero to, you know, 145 miles an hour in seconds. So it's shifting the automotive industry, you know, a.k.a. Tesla, for example, or Dodge, or you see all these new hybrids coming out. So I think, actually, the most important interview I've had is with our next generation. I really firmly believe that if we educate students, we excite them, you know, we support them, we love them, and we get the heck out of the way, they have the answer, but the key is supporting them. So,
yeah,
I don't know. There's so many things.
That's good. I love that. Next generation. Well, wow. You gave us some things to think about for sure. Diana Z, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Kate, thank you ever so much. I'd love to invite you on SNE today as well.
Absolutely. You got it.
Take good care.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
The Freeze-Dry Guy presents freeze-dried turkey, freeze-dried ham, and the no-bake casserole unit February sale. Listen, if you trust the freeze-dry guy, as thousands have for their emergency food supply since 1970, don't wait to hear how great this deal is, because it's unlimited supply. Call 866-404-3663 and ask for our new turkey and ham unit. Normal retail price, $359.94. Sale price, $251.94. You save $108. And it's chock-full of high-quality, great-tasting, freeze-dried diced turkey and ham from Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products. Or get the freeze-dry guy's no-bake casserole unit. 153 servings per case at normal retail price of $215.94. Sale price, $172.75. You save $43.19. But supplies are limited, and we always pay shipping right to your door within the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 and make freezedryguy.com a favorite and check for monthly specials. Don't miss the Freeze Dry Guy's February sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
This is Tim Austin, Senior Vice President of Kmart. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. As a business leader, I know that babies born very sick or too soon cost businesses billions of dollars each year. That's why Kmart is committed to raising funds through our employees, customers, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
Couple of turns here on this hour anyway of America Tonight, and I mentioned this at the top that the legendary basketball coach of North Carolina, Dean Smith, you can know nothing about college hoops but guarantee you have heard of Dean Smith, dead at the age of 83, the incredible legacy that he leaves behind and the amount of players that made the leap even to the pros so successfully, but also the coaches too, is absolutely something to talk about. Of course, he's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. And you think of how long he coached North Carolina. He was the first coach at North Carolina, 61 to 1997. 879 wins. Wow. Two national championships, 11 Final Fours. And here's something he was really proud of. He was known for having a pretty clean program, a really good program. His graduation rate was 96.6%. And a lot of the athletes ended up getting degrees. Of course, the ones that didn't go on to pro careers for the most part. But there are other things you could talk about with Dean Smith and what he did to the game of basketball and to slow down his offense. The shot clock was actually created in his Four Corners offense. The shot clock was actually created to effectively sort of slow them down a little bit. So what does that tell you? Some legendary coaches who are coaching today, including Roy Williams and Rick Pitino and Jim Boeheim and Coach K, had this to say about the impact Dean Smith had on college hoops.
Coach Smith's legacy is hard to put it in perspective because it's so huge. It's wide-ranging from everything. I think he's the best I've ever seen on the court, and he was 100 times better off the court. And his dealing with people and the loyalty that he showed to his school and his players, nobody can ever match.
I coached against Coach Smith when I was at Kentucky. Guys like that who are innovators, you look back and say, you know, special situations, run and trap situations, run and jump situations, full court pressure, 1-3-1 defenses, T offenses. He gave so much to the game, and certainly he's leaving behind a legacy that's very special.
Well, Dean Smith is an icon among coaches. He established so many things that we all do today, so many different things that he did for the first time, helped to revolutionize college basketball. One of the great, great coaches of all time, and established North Carolina as one of the great programs for college basketball.
Well, Dean set the highest of standards in our profession and will go down as one of the great coaches of any sport all time because he not only coached the game at the highest level, but he lived the game at the highest level. You know, a man of great principle. You can judge him not just by his wins, but by the loyalty that his former players have for him. They absolutely revere, Dean, and he made men of them, not just championship level basketball players. And I consider him a great, great friend, and it's a privilege to coach against him and become his friend.
All right, so pretty high praise, and that came from all over the place. Besides those coaches, Michael Jordan talked about him being a second father and teaching him the great game of basketball. Matt, as far as college basketball is concerned, when you think of college basketball and legendary status, you think of John Wooden and UCLA, and I think you put Dean Smith, obviously he's in that category, and some say he's the best of all time. What a crazy impact he had on the game, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. And you think that about Michael Jordan, and he's probably going to be, you know, the greatest player to ever live. And that was his college coach who kind of molded him. I don't know if you remember, but when Jordan was at North Carolina, he was this freshman that wasn't incredibly, he's not the player that he was now, and Dean Smith took him and molded him into that outstanding player that he eventually became, and that was a lot of what, you know, he was doing. And I remember the that second championship he won was actually here in Minneapolis, and he won it against the Fab Five, and being a young, impressionable kid, I was absolutely cheering for Michigan in those days. So it was actually a little bittersweet for me because I wanted those young, I mean, the Fab Five, the young five mm-hmm. freshmen from Michigan to win, and that was the famous timeout game where Chris Webber calls a timeout and they end up losing. But, so that's kind of my memory.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. The Webber timeout, it seemed like, at first it seemed like, boy, was he going to be able to get over that? I remember watching that game. I think I was in California. I think I was in California. I remember watching that game. That's funny because it was all about Michigan. A lot of people were pulling for Michigan, but what an incredible impact he had on the game. Absolutely. There's no question about it. Dead at the age of 83. Billy Casper, who had 51 golf titles to his name for anybody who paid attention to the game of golf back in the day. And his, you know, he would play against Jack Nicklaus. He's Sam Snead. He's on one of the all-time lists. 51 is an incredible amount of titles to amass. And ironically, he died at the age of 83 too, as well, over the weekend. There was another strange story as we seg into something else that happened over the weekend. You know, it seems like we can't see enough of Bruce Jenner. I could care less about Hollywood magazines or whatever, but if you get in line at a grocery store, you see it, all you see is pictures of Bruce Jenner where he looks like he has lipstick on and whatever else is going on there. And then he makes news for a fatal crash. He is not going to have any kind of trouble with the law as a result of the crash. At least that's the way it looks because of the pictures that have been taken at it. But it was Pacific Coast Highway in Malibu. He slammed into a Lexus on Saturday, and that driver went into oncoming traffic, and she was killed after colliding with a Hummer. And so apparently there was conversation about what he had in his hand before the crash. There was something in his hand. And there was a photo that came out, and it shows people were saying, oh, he's texting, and can you imagine? But it wasn't texting. It was a cigarette, not a cell phone that he was holding. And the L.A. County Sheriff's Department was getting a search warrant to determine if he was texting at the time of the collision. But it appears that there's no question it was a cigarette that was in his hand, because it's illegal to text while driving. And if you have any kind of an accident, especially if somebody's killed and they die and you're texting, well, then that's prosecutable. That would be vehicular manslaughter in California. But because of it wasn't that, it was cigarette, or so it seems, he wouldn't face any kind of criminal prosecution. But supposedly he slammed on his brakes before the impact and he veered right to avoid the Lexus. And there was a Prius, I guess, in front of that car that had a sudden stop. So it was like it was a chain reaction, had a sudden stop that triggered that collision. Boy, can you imagine? It's like I said, you see him already all over the place. And then there's this horrific accident and he's involved in it. And if you see the car, the woman's car where she was spit back into that oncoming traffic, it is just frightening the way that her car crunched up. And then when it started to come out that it might have been texting, boy, but it wasn't. You can see pretty clearly, I do not believe that they're going to come up with anything there other than, I mean, my gosh, how terrible is that to be involved in an accident where somebody, you know, ultimately is killed. But if there were people in front of him, so the chain reaction sets him a little bit back, he just happened to hit that car. Hey, if you have any thoughts on the show, you can flip them to me. You know that, americatonight.net. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the city you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out...
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason!
Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with
with the host you're listening to right now online at gcnlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at gcnlive.com.